continuation of item number 1109, and we have some folks that signed up to speak on that item at the previous hearing and who did not get to speak. Is that right?
Correct.
So could you read the item first, Carla?
Yes, 1109, ratify a successor collective bargaining agreement between the city and the Portland Police Association relating to the terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the Portland Police Association bargaining unit.
Okay, and who do we have signed up from the previous hearing that needs
to? I'll just read the names that I have who are eligible. I have Dr. Leroy Haynes, Jr.
Dr. Haynes, are you here?
Okay. Karen Mitzner.
Ms. Mitzner, are you here?
V. Perez Rivera. I know she said she's here. Come on up.
Please, come on up.
And then the other last two I have are Katie Lejeholm and Dan Lukin.
Okay. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners.
So what's the process?
Sorry. You just need to give us your name. Oh. You don't need to give us your address, and we typically allow people 3 minutes to testify. So
okay.
Please.
So wrong. I'm at that age.
I am. Go ahead.
Now I forgot which is which. I think that's my... Anyway, my name is Mila Vianney Perez Revere. I serve currently on the Community Oversight Advisory Board. I'm the founder of Oregon Institute for Restorative Practices, and I'm applying to the Portland Commission on Disabilities. I'd like to believe that I represent some part of the Portland community. My father started the Oregon Chicano Concilio in 1974. My parents were responsible for supporting the process of starting the Colegio Cesar Chavez College in just outside of Woodburn, and I consider myself highly representative. So I appreciate, number one, the Hispanic Month being declared. I saw that on the video the other day. I appreciate that, and I appreciate y'all's commitment and service to the community. I'm going to apologize, sort of a pre-apology, because I don't like to speak this way normally.
Please,
given the circumstances, I hope that you understand that.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. I also like to assume people have the best of intentions. These are bullet points. Community oversight of the Portland Police Bureau contract is a public policy issue. Where is a social equity lens being utilized? And who is benefiting from the currently proposed contract? The mayor decided to negotiate this contract in the middle of the existing contract. The CBA does not include the accountability and oversight issues the community has expressed as a concern, or concerns rather, and the settlement agreement clearly identifies. Where is the reform agenda? The CBA provisions need to include the role of the IPR in investigating in-custody deaths. The CBA contract needs to include the IPR having the power to compel officer testimony. Where is the accountability agenda? Remove the prohibitive provisions which inhibit meaningful accountability mechanisms for the IPR, CRC, and the community in the current proposed CBA. Crime is down, statistically speaking. I don't like where crime is because I'm from Portland. I was born and raised here. It's terrible. Yesterday, there were some unnumbered amount of police officers that I saw here in the city council. I'm sad about that on all ends, and for everybody that was affected that way. Further, let's take the SROs out of the schools and put them in the streets. They have no business being in public schools without at the same time having a meaningful restorative practices element and mechanisms where the teachers and the administrators get to communicate and talk in a restorative fashion. Okay? What we're lacking here is sufficient leadership in the right places at the right time. We don't need a 9% across-the-board pay raise to hire new officers. Thank you for the extra time.
Just 1 second. No, because V is a member of the so I think we're both saying, please continue.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Use the time, but you're in an important community role, so go ahead, please.
I appreciate that. So please, for the sake of the community and for the legacy that we sow now in this garden of community, and our harvest that we and our children and our community members are going to feel the effect of in the future. Please table the ratification of this contract until the next mayor takes office. You've done great work, and I appreciate your service. Allow the community to speak and substantively participate in this decision-making process. It's critical. In the Communities of Color report that came out, 2010? I can't remember right off the top of my head. Some 40% of the members here in Portland are communities of color. How do we make that space, that social space that includes them in these substantive decision-making elements that reflect on our community if we don't have clear processes which include them? That needs to happen. It needs to come out behind the doors and be shown just like we have it here on the video. I appreciate all of your commitment, your continued vision, and I look forward to hopefully working with you all in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Carla, what other names did you have? I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, Dr. Haynes is traveling, and I would like to speak on his behalf.
Certainly. Come on up.
I only had Dick Springer was the last name I had.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, I am Joanne Hardesty, and I'm speaking on behalf of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. Because of public input, the accountability measures Portlanders currently enjoy in the police contract, in the current contract, the public continues to push for more accountability from policing from our elected leaders. Under previous police commissioners, we the public got evaluations. It was amazing to believe an organization with over 1,000 employees didn't do annual evaluations of their employees to determine whether or not they were fit for promotion, special assignments, etc. But because we the public fought for it, we now have evaluations in the union contract. In addition, we fought for well over a decade to have drug testing included in Portland Police Association contract. And guess what? The public won that. That is now a part of the Portland Police Association contract. Just this year, Mayor Hales negotiated the removal of the 48-hour rule. That's because that's what the people wanted. The people advocated for the removal of that rule for over a decade. If you were going to vote for an accountable police contract, it would include some criteria. It would have criteria on who are the best officers to be invited back to Portland Police Force after retirement. We wouldn't just take anybody. We would take only the best. If we had a true accountability system, we'd be investing in high schools and colleges so that we could grow the kind of community police officers that we want. In addition, we'd be giving stipends to cadets and police volunteers that are young people so that they could get a sense of whether or not this was a good career move for them. In this contract, we would limit acting coaches to people with a record of excellence rather than any police officer who wants to act as an acting coach being able to do that. If we were looking for accountability, we would strengthen the drug policy to ensure that after a use of force incident, police would be drug tested to make sure that they were not on steroids or other enhanced.
Please continue, sorry.
Thank you. The last thing is, I don't know if the other commissioners are aware that if you ratify this contract, You are ratifying a body cam policy. Because if you look in the resolution under Section 5, what it states is that police will be able to review. We've already negotiated. The mayor has already negotiated that police will have the opportunity to review body cam footage before they're investigated. That's already, if you approve and ratify the contract, that's already in there, which means why would we put together a task force or a work group or a stakeholders group if we've already negotiated that into the contract? And so I'm very concerned that we're being told that body cams is off the table, and we'll talk about that later. But if you ratify this contract, you are ratifying a policy that actually says that the only people who will be beneficiaries of that video will be police officers. The public will never see it. I appreciate you greatly, Mayor, for giving me this additional time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So does that conclude our sign-up sheet then? Okay, so this completes the public hearing on that item. I want to move to council discussion and action on the amendment that we have on the table. I have some language clarification to that amendment that I'll go through in a moment, but first I just want to reset some of the basics of why we're here. Many in the community have asked for a delay in council approval of this union contract, arguing that Mayor-elect Wheeler should be responsible for resuming negotiations next year. I disagree. As the mayor of this city, elected to this office, the current crisis is my responsibility, and I refuse to pass the buck. We are in a serious staffing crisis in the Portland Police Bureau. Our officer vacancies are increasing rapidly. At least 150 vacancies are likely by next summer, and that's about the soonest that a contract negotiated in the next administration could possibly go into effect. Right now, we have 83 officer vacancies, and we have 22 retirements scheduled this month. The risk of increased reassignments of officers from specialty divisions to patrols grows with each of those additional deficits. We have very limited capacity to build the relationships that are necessary for a healthy relationship between the Portland Police Bureau and the community we serve. We're stretched too thin to expand walking patrols and the other things that Portlanders believe will mean a positive relationship with our police force. So I'm responsible for addressing this crisis, and so is this council, and that's why we've been in union negotiations all year and meeting periodically with our human resources team that actually conducted those negotiations. The city of Portland is committed to strengthening our accountability systems. The contract allows us to do that and make some gains in that, but most of that work is outside of this contract. But what does the contract accomplish? As Ms. Hardesty just mentioned, it does remove the 48-hour rule, which will remain in effect if the council doesn't approve it. It raises officers' starting salaries to be not the lowest paid starting salary of any major police agency in the state, and to also make us competitive for lateral moves with agencies that are now hiring our officers for that purpose. It eliminates a whole long list of Portland Police Association grievances against this city, which, if they succeed, would block our reform efforts. One of those grievances is against our discipline rules that I've been applying, along with two police chiefs, in situations where we have terminated or accepted the resignation of police officers that would have, in the past, perhaps won an arbitration case. I don't want to lose that ability to properly discipline our police force because it's core to accountability. There's been a great deal of confusion about the body camera issue. First, Section 5, I think you've all seen the memorandum from Anna Canwit. Section 5 merely says that if an officer has viewed any kind of video footage for the purpose of writing their report, they'll get to see it again. That's all it says. Doesn't say that the police chief must give them access, doesn't say anything else about body cameras. In fact, of course, there's nothing about body cameras at all in the contract itself. I'll get to some specifics about the body camera policy because that's what my amendment addresses. But again, I want to say most of our work in reform in the Portland Police Bureau is not in the union contract. It's in lots of other ways, like the development of racial equity training that's embedded in our annual in-service training now. It's like de-escalation training that's resulted in our use of force rates falling so much over the last 4 years. I'm committed, this council's committed, the Portland Police Bureau is committed to working with advocacy groups that bring the community to the table and give us the police bureau that we want and continues the reform that we've already seen so many benefits from. I know people are passionately concerned, and I am too, about the tragedies of excessive force by police bureaus. Our police bureau has a bad record in the past of using excessive force. And there's been loss of life across this country that's unconscionable. Black lives matter. And they have been at risk too often in too many places. And it's my passionate belief that we can do better than that in Portland, as we have been here lately. So I understand the pain a little bit. I understand the fear a little bit. As a white man, I can never understand it completely. As an African-American young man might walking down our streets. But I know it's real, and we have to address it, and we have to address it in lots of ways. And if I thought this police contract would in any way make life worse for that young man, I would never vote for it. Now, we have an amendment on the table that I proposed last week and that was seconded. I have some language changes that I want to make in that amendment to make it even clearer about what it does. I'll read it and then talk about the words that change. It says, Council directs the Police Bureau to convene a stakeholder committee to review the draft body-worn camera policy version 2.2 and national best practices as they continue to evolve. Additionally, the public will be given the opportunity for universal review and to provide public comments through the Bureau's established directives process. A report will be presented by the stakeholder committee, to the council by the stakeholder committee, and will be subject to further public input, and here's new words, and council approval at that time. Finally, I propose to strike the last sentence, which says, following this public review and comment process, the PPA and PPB will meet to discuss finalization of the body-worn camera policy. Whatever is bargainable will be bargained, but the council, the city council, of the city of Portland will vote on a body camera policy before one body camera rolls out the door of any precinct. So I wanted to make that crystal clear in these modifications to my amendment, and if there are no objections, I'll consider that.
I'll second it as well.
Second it.
If I might suggest a further friendly amendment. Further public input and council approval, could we have comment? Further public input, comma, potential amendments, comma,
sure.
And council approval.
Sure.
It's not just
input.
Rubber stamping,
right.
It's that
right.
Everybody gets to come to that hearing.
Got it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Got it. We have further public input, comma, potential amendments, comma, and council approval at that time. Okay, so Commissioner Fritz has seconded my modification to the amendment, so let's vote on the modification first and then on the amendment itself, or do we could do that all in one motion?
One motion.
So the amendment as modified. So let's take a vote unless there are any further questions by the council on the amendment that's now before us. Okay, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so the amendment's adopted and this item moves to second reading. Please,
some
comments
to follow
before
up
we go
to
proceed.
Yep. And I know we've lost Anna Kenrick to her long planned vacation. So I expect you may know the answers anyway. As far as having criteria for which retirees are invited back, currently it's at the chief's discretion, is
that's
that right?
Correct.
But there could be additional criteria, and this was suggested by Commissioner on Disability Commissioner Philip Wolf, that would include some community review, so that there might be an opportunity for the public to say, yes, that's one that we want back, or no, it's not.
That's completely possible.
And
the reason I'm being a little bit vague about that is I don't know if during my administration we'll be rehiring anybody back or not, but if we do, I'm certainly willing to have that be a public process.
Right. Thank you. And also to pass on to the next police commissioner that we should do that. And then what Ms. Hardesty just raised about giving cadets stipends, is that possible under this contract, or is it? So I know that part of the reason we're in this place is to have some incentives for people, for recruits.
Right.
And we weren't allowed to give them anything without the police association's approval.
I think the language that we have in the contract, it's maybe a little bit tangential to that, but I'm not sure. I think the language that we have in the contract about the development of a community service officer program gives us quite a bit of leeway about how we would do that, and that a cadet could become a community service officer on the way to becoming an officer.
Yes, and we also didn't completely specify what the recruitment incentives have to be.
Right.
So that takes care of that question. About who can be the coach, can any police officer sign up to be a coach of a new recruit, or what's the vetting process for that? Mm-hmm. And that's probably a Chief Marshman.
That probably is a Chief Marshman comment. I don't think there's anything, I'll look at the contract again, I don't believe the contract in any way determines who can be a coach. It just determines some things about what coaches do.
Right. Well, that's something if you get back to me by next week.
I'll clarify that by next week.
Then the final thing is about drug testing after use of force. And we were in a big discussion about that a couple of contracts ago, and I think we ended on random drug testing so that there's no constitutional right against self-incrimination by giving a sample. And we had a discussion about that vis-a-vis community members who have to have a reasonable suspicion before we can do a blood test to see if they have used alcohol, right?
Right.
If I'm wrong on that, I'd like to hear from the city attorney later, but that's my understanding of why we didn't go to right after chief use of force the last time, and whether there's any potential constitutional way to do that.
Okay.
And then the final question, thing that Ms. Hardesty brought up was about the body cam process, and I think you've addressed that.
I think so, yeah. I think we've clarified that that process is going to start at some point and follow the guidance and directives that we've just laid down, and that the right to look at information when you write your report, the right to look at a video that you used when you wrote your report is the only thing that the contract deals with.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't get to see it in the first place, you don't get to see it the second time.
Yes. Right, and I actually did want to make some comments in relation to these points. As far as the IPR process, you're envisioning that that would come in, what the auditor may eventually bring in would be
by code.
Yeah.
In fact, the auditor sent out a memorandum which had a number of errors in it, and the primary error is that all that's guided by code. It's not guided by the union contract.
Thank you. That's helpful. And then this. I think you've already voiced an interest in looking at the school resource officers, especially if certain things happen in November. So that I think is an ongoing discussion in the budget as well as on the principals of whether or not they're helpful. We certainly in the budget process heard from lots of principals and others who thought that they are helpful.
Right.
So that's and then regarding the need for a clear process for public and community members to engage in the system, I think you're absolutely right on that, and it's possibly something that we can fold into whatever the Community Oversight Advisory Board becomes after we've had the reset. So thank you very much for that, and that's definitely on my list.
Thank you. Any other requests or
questions?
Questions
and comments?
We'll try to get to you.
Or do I just come back and talk then?
If you want to come back, we'll make sure we get you in then.
So, Mayor, just a few comments to follow. Okay, follow up on some comments that Commissioner Fritz made. One of the concerns that I've heard in the community is that when we laid out the case for why we need to invest in recruitment and retention, we presented some scenarios where specialty units would be cannibalized, programs that the community cares about would be compromised, and other things. So I think it's fair to ask the question in the reverse. If we are poised to invest in order to prevent in the short term that from happening, and then to address what you have clearly put down as a priority marker, building back the force so we have folks, I think the question that comes up, and I hear a lot in the community, is how will we be sure that those officers are deployed in a way to bolster community policing and sort of on-the-ground stuff that people consistently want, meaning getting cops out of their cars, engaging the community. And what will be the process for making those judgments?
Good question. I mean, it appears, and Mr. Turner from the Police Association gave us some indications of this at his testimony. It appears that there are quite a few officers who will not retire as planned in October if this contract is approved. I certainly hope that that's true. We will find out if they file for retirement or if they don't. But what I would suggest is that we have another work session with the chief perhaps by about the first week of November, so we know where we are, as we did the last time with him, about here, if we're coming out of the nosedive, which I hope we are, how bad is it? How bad is it before we climb? Are we climbing now? So, see that situation, because there are still choices about if we have to take people out of specialty units and put them on patrol, where do we take them from?
So I see nodding among your other colleagues. So, and by the way, just my own view, if it meant bumping a comp plan hearing, since we have about 1,000 scheduled events, I would welcome that. Yeah. But I think hearing from the chief about a number of these questions, how can this investment bolster community policing? What are some of the choices that you'll be making with the chief in terms of staffing and particularly units? And then what are the criteria you'll be using at the front end and the back end with this new investment? And I you just committed to doing that in November. Yep. I think that makes a lot of sense, Mayor. The other thing is there is a lot of community confusion. And while I think you did an admirable job a few minutes ago explaining what's in the contract and what isn't, there still is a lot of confusion, including some of our friends in the legislature who authorized this program and are very concerned that the community have a strong voice in developing the policy. And, Mayor, and I know there's a lot of documents that have been produced, but what I would urge us to do is, in a place that's accessible to everyone in the public, put a very simple FAQ that lays out the questions that we've received and gives very simple, direct answers with links to documents, and post that between now and next Wednesday so people have access to it. Not to cut and paste from all the other documents, but one document that just explains what we're doing, what we're not doing, and what we are proposing to commit to in the future. Okay. I would urge you to do that.
Yeah, we certainly can. Good idea. Thank you. Other requests, concerns?
I just wanted to ask to take a minute to address the concern that the tentative agreement says that the PPA and the city agreed that the subject of review of audio-video is mandatory for bargaining, and I've heard some commenters say that that was an unnecessary concession, and I just wanted to hear your take on it, Mayor.
I think Mark Amberg is probably better qualified than me to...
But we did actually discuss that, and that was that it's a statement of fact, according to Anna.
So maybe we
it's
ought to get...
It's not something we bargained, it's a statement of fact.
If we can, in the interest of time, maybe between now and next week when we vote, we can get a complete... I've seen some more additional information, but let's get a complete memorandum from the city attorney's office on why they believe that that viewing that footage as it affects discipline is a mandatory subject of bargaining no matter what we say, if I can paraphrase their legal memoranda on the subject. But we'll get a more thorough one than that to you over the next couple of days.
Commissioner Fritz, I do recall that you said that, but I thought it was a subject of such discussion that it bared repeating.
It bears really ventilating. So we want to get that from the city attorney's office, and then obviously we'll make it public as well. Other requests? All right, thank you all very much. This moves to second reading. And now it's